Hey everyone, hope you're doing really well. I'm very, very, very happy to have a special guest today, which is Matt. Matt, welcome.
Hey Daniel, thanks for having me on the show.
As I told you, and I often say on the channel, it's, you know, when somebody's willing to like talk about their journey, like it just brings so much hope to everyone out there struggling. So I'm super grateful for it. And so Matt, yeah, just, I think I'd like to actually start with this question, which is, just tell us briefly about like, how do you connect with me and the channel, et cetera?
Okay, so I was looking for a, I pretty much was looking for a sleep coach, or at least like someone who I could, you know, talk to about sleep, and they would hopefully, you know, kind of get where I was coming from. I realized a lot of the communities I had found weren't really useful. It was hard to find, you know, like a professional or someone who was actually knowledgeable in sleep in a lot of these communities. And rather it was more kind of, you know, a lot of people who were anxious or, you know, afraid about sleep, kind of like getting together and maybe kind of just working themselves up a little bit because there was no one to, you know, come in and dispel some of their fears. So I kind of wanted to find someone who, you know, had seen someone like me before, would be able to give me some reassurance and some guidance. So I looked up sleep apps, and first I found Sleepity. And Sleepity was very useful. It put me like, you know, more onto the right track for sure. But then there was a user in the group chat there who recommended Set It and Forget It. And they were like, you know, read this book. It's gonna, you know, change your mindset. You know, you're gonna feel so much better after, like, just honestly give this book a read. And he really went up to bat for the quality of this book. So I was like, you know, like, what do I have to lose? I'll give Set It and Forget It a read. And when I read it, it was almost kind of like healing words. I was literally like, this is like what I needed. This is like making things, you know, so much clearer for me. And I read the book, you know, like two or three times over. Like, you know, there were nights that were really difficult for me, and I would read like certain passages from the book to just like calm myself down. But eventually I was just like, you know, I want to get in contact with, you know, the man behind the book. So I came to your YouTube channel, and from your YouTube channel, I discovered Bedtime, and then we started chatting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for sharing this. And, you know, you didn't name them specifically, but I think I'm guessing you mean like those forums that, was it like the Reddit and Facebook group?
Yeah. It was mainly the Reddit. It was, Reddit is like the one you come across like really, really early on if you're looking for sleep communities, right? Yeah. So it was Reddit, and it was like Twitter, I think. It was those two, like hashtag insomnia and R insomnia were my they were my go-tos for a while. And you know, there's a lot of people suffering there, and they don't know necessarily why they're suffering. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I just asked that to kind of, that's a kind of common teaching point that, you know, those groups are, there's a challenge there because, as you said, there's no sort of guidance, and people, and some people are there kind of for community, and you can, you know, it's really, really tricky, those ones. But anyway, just timeline wise, like about, was it maybe like 6 months ago, or when did you find the YouTube channel and started Forget It and Sleep Ed and all that?
Sure. So I'll kind of give a bit of background, just a little bit on myself, and then I'll explain how I came to your school, or how I found your school, essentially. So, you know, in you know, normal times, I live in a bachelor apartment. I'm in my like late 20s. I'm pretty independent. Generally, kind of just like on my own now, you know. So when the lockdown hit, we were, our office kind of like shut down. We ceased operations for a while because we had no way of supporting work from home. So suddenly I'm in my apartment, and, you know, this is really early on in the pandemic when we didn't really know, you know, how the virus works. So I was really just avoiding going out. I was spending pretty much all day inside, you know, by myself, and it's a bachelor apartment. It's like my bed is always right there, and there's a TV and a couch, but it's a pretty small little room, which normally was fine for me. But, you know, after I had, like, it's kind of silly, actually. I had my first night of restless sleep because I was excited for a package that was going to arrive. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, I can't wait for this to get here. You know, I'm going to sign for it. So I'm going to stay up so they don't leave. And then I received my package. I was happy with it. You know, that night I was like, I'm going to, you know, try to go to bed early tonight. And then I couldn't sleep. And then the next night I really had trouble sleeping. And I'm like, well, now I'm not having so much fun anymore because it's been, you know, 2 days. I haven't really slept. Because of like the nature of like my apartment, you know, I spent a lot of time in bed, but it didn't bother me before. Because, you know, it's either I'm going to watch TV on my couch, I'm going to watch TV in my bed, because I didn't really have a whole lot of places to be. So I spent a lot of time in bed. I wasn't going out because of the virus, because it was still early on. We still didn't really, you know, get it. And then it quickly kind of became like a prison, because I was like, I have nowhere to go. My sleep is making me really anxious, but I want to keep chasing it, because once I get some sleep, I'll start feeling better. So I spent an entire day just like not leaving my bed, just trying to like force myself to sleep after every hour, you know, hour or two, get up, you know, pace around the room a bit, go back to bed. I was like, I just need to like sleep, you know, just really trying to force it. And because I wasn't leaving or going anywhere, like my bed was always in like my line of sight, you know, there was always a reminder of sleep. There was always the temptation of trying to chase more sleep. So long story short, I started doing a lot of like sleep efforts, the thing you read online. So I was trying like over-the-counter supplements, herbal supplements. There was one period of time where like I was trying to like drink to fall asleep, and anyway, after like a few nights of this, I started getting like really, really panicky. And there was one moment where, like, I guess because, like, I don't know if it was like, you know, in my own head or because of all the things I was like, you know, trying to like combine together, like a science experiment to fall asleep, I had like a really kind of like bad breakdown. I moved back home with my parents for a while. I was like, you know, it's not like, I'm normally the kind of person who's very careful, like always reads the label sort of thing. I'm like, I'm just trying like all sorts of things to fall asleep. Like, I don't even know, you know, what I'm taking anymore. You know, they're over the counter, so I don't think they have interactions, but like, I don't really know, you know, like, I don't know, like, to what degree, like, I trust myself to not, you know, push myself really far to try and get to sleep, and then I'm having more problems. So, you know, I can't, this was like towards the end of May. I came home, I started living with my parents again. I spoke with my doctor really, really shortly after, and he prescribed me Seroquel. And he was like, you know, like the first thing you should do is like spend less time in bed. You know, like he's like try to maybe sleep from, you know, 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. Set that as your window, and then like no more time in bed, like no more thinking about bed. And then, you know, if you need a boost to fall asleep, I have like Seroquel for you. So he's like, if you really need it, like try that an hour and a half before sleeping, and it'll, you know, maybe calm you down by the time you go to bed. So and me talking to the doctor followed like my quote unquote big one, so to speak. So that was about like 2.5 days of being awake. I remember when I called him, like I was shaking, like my hands were shaking because I was so freaked out. Anyway, so Seroquel,
And actually, okay. Sorry to kind of briefly interrupt you, but
yeah, no worries.
One of those that I think it helps people to really get a picture, like, well, you know, what was that like the big one that happened before you went to the doctor? What happened there?
Sure. So, so I guess I wasn't like, the thing is, I was never like physically sick. I was just like, I was really hyper aroused. And it was more like my thoughts were just like, they're just racing. Like, it was like, I couldn't calm my thoughts down. I couldn't see like the forest for the trees. I couldn't see any, I couldn't like make a realistic assessment on what was happening to me. Yes. Because I was anxious and my thoughts were fueled by all these, you know, communities I had visited with people, you know, who are suffering a lot. I couldn't see a way out. And even though, you know, like I knew in my head I didn't have like a neurological issue or anything like that, because I'm like, you know, like I was able to keep myself grounded in that respect. But I'm like, I don't know how long this is going to go on for, you know, like I've never been up this long before. I have no basis to predict when it will end. Like, all I know is I've been up for a long time. I have a lot of energy. Like, I'm not seeing things clearly, and I don't know, like, when this is going to end. Yeah. So,
So it was probably a couple of days or something like that were very intense. Like, you were awake for long stretches of time, and your thoughts were, like, very, very fear-tinged, like, kind of panicky like that.
Like, panicky, like, I couldn't see an end point, because I'm like, you know what, I'll sleep eventually, but I have no idea how long this is going to go on for. And that started getting really scary, because I was so deep into the hole of racing thoughts, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So then I did end up taking Seroquel, and, you know, as we know, you know, medicines don't produce sleep, but it did sedate me, and, you know, it like shut my mind up enough that, you know, after I was able to get some sleep, and I was able to start kind of sleeping, like, in that window, not necessarily through the window, but in the window. But then, you know, when I wanted to talk to my doctor, like, I had to make an appointment, right? I had a lot of anxiety, and I had no one I could just talk to.
Yeah.
Whenever I felt like I needed it, or no one I felt like I could write to whenever I just needed it. So that's when I started looking for sleep coaching apps, and I found Sleepity, and then I found you. And it was like early or mid July, I think, when we started talking.
Yeah. Let's we'll go from there in a second. There was just this one thing I wanted to ask you before, which was, I was kind of curious. Like, I think you actually got some pretty good advice there in terms of, like, you know, don't spend so much time in bed, like, maybe sleep from like 3 to 9 or so. Was this a sleep doctor or a general?
It was actually just my GP.
Okay, that was very cool. That part was surprisingly good advice. Okay, very cool. But yes, you illustrate the challenge of, like, traditional medicine, which is, like, you may tell somebody something super helpful, but then it's like you send them out into this vacuum, and then you don't see them until like 2 weeks later or something like that, which is very problematic because of
course, exactly. Yeah. It was this thing where I really needed, like I needed continuous support, and because, like even now, I wouldn't say I'm completely over it, but I'm much better than I was. But like, back then, like, I was like in such a position where if I had a setback, like, I would really spiral if I didn't have anyone I could talk to. So that's where Sleepity came in. That's where Set It and Forget It came in. That's why I was rereading passages from the book to, like, try and reinforce my thought patterns before I started speaking with you. That's why I knew a lot about the book, like, when I started talking to you, and why I kind of knew, like, about you when I started talking to you. Because I would just, like, you know, read and engage in videos over and over, and, you know, use that to reinforce thought patterns, essentially.
Absolutely. All right, so we're in July, and I remember, yeah, when we started working over bedtime, and I remember that, you know, you had some pretty, like, kind of some, like, big, like, insights, realizations very early on, and it was like you sent these very insightful messages, but I think, you know, still very bumpy for quite a bit there, but, like, just share, like, what you remember about that, like, starting to work with me in bedtime and how things progressed from there.
Okay, so like first of all, it was journaling. Like, we talk about journaling here on your channel a lot, and how, you know, getting the thoughts out of your mind and onto a piece of paper can be really beneficial. But for me, I felt like I needed someone to read it. So, and I wanted to be someone who would, you know, kind of get what I was talking about. So that's why, you know, I had many, many rough nights where, you know, I would send a message to bedtime at like 4 in the morning and, you know, write a novel about my current situation. But usually after that, I would, you know, relax and fall asleep. So it speaks to the power of journaling for me that, you know, writing it down, getting it out definitely made me feel better. But I really needed that. I really needed that extra boost of, you know, having someone read it and having, you know, someone respond to it. For me, it was just better than sending it out into the void. Along with that, you know, the modules are useful. It was great to, you know, reinforce my thinking. It was kind of just like a lot of the same content as Set It and Forget It, right? But it was still great to just, you know, have just like another positive sleep influence and positive reminders, and like, you know, continuously learning new things and just having like a safe place to talk about sleep and be open about sleep and, you know that the advice I'm going to get is going to be caring and from a trustworthy source. So, yeah, that's why I was on bedtime.
Absolutely. And one thing I wanted to talk to you about was, I think at the time, like pretty early on, maybe you had been a client, maybe like a couple of weeks or something like that. And I had just been thinking a lot about this concept that I called like a threshold. And I had seen how
Some
people, right? And
right. This is a big one for me, for sure.
And so, yeah, and I'm like going to speak just in a second, but just to, like for everyone tuning in here, my sort of like my realization or what I saw was that a lot of people had this like drew a line in the sand. Like I can take one supplement, but that's two supplements. That's too much. I shouldn't be able to do this. Or more commonly, like I can have one rough night. That's okay. But I cannot have two rough nights. That's unacceptable. And how these thresholds mm-hmm. kind of curated pressure, and that really resonated with you. And I learned actually a lot from you. But tell us about that, the threshold thoughts and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay. So actually, I think it's like the driving force behind like my entire insomnia. For me, like you know, I don't want to say unacceptable because it's like the rational part of me knows it's not a big deal. But the irrational part of me makes it like into a huge deal, if that makes sense. So I have this fixation on, you know, once I've been awake for 24 hours, then I'm in trouble. And I think this came because, you know, like if you wake up at 8 a.m, go to work, come home, don't sleep. Then, you know, 8 a.m. again, you're like an entire day has passed between, you know, starting work and coming to work again. And like, I haven't rested at all. And I think that's where, I think that's where it started from, but it became a real complex for me. And it's honestly, it's been a complex I've always had. But with like the focus on the lockdown, with the lockdown, with my schedule being all screwed up, like this is something that like really, really came to the limelight for me. Like, you know, I have to avoid being awake for 24 hours because once I'm awake for 24 hours means I'm not going to sleep. I'm not even able to try to sleep until, you know, 38 hours have passed. And if I don't sleep after 38 hours, you know, it's gonna be 50 hours. But when I wake up or when I should be waking up, and then these times, they get so out of control really quickly. And control is obviously, I think, something we'll come back to later, because I'm saying control, and I know that's an issue I have too. But yeah, it's like almost like a spiraling point for me. Like up to 24 hours, okay, you know, I can keep my anxiety and my hyperarousal under control. But once I'm over that, like something psychologically just sends like my thoughts racing, and I'm really just like, I need to get to sleep. Like how long is it gonna go on for, you know? Yeah, it's just like, it's like a tipping point where like the hyperarousal or the anxiety just it just spirals big time, really.
No, totally understand. And I think, and I remember that, like, just us talking about it, I think that was helpful because, you know, it was kind of like more defined, like, okay, you're like, yeah, I see, that's exactly my problem. I have this like 24 hour threshold. And I remember there was this kind of like, you know, there were different thoughts about like how to approach that, just be aware of it, or maybe like, you know, deliberately staying like, okay, I am going to stay awake more than 24 hours just to kind of do it on my own terms and show myself that I'll be okay. But I think that threshold got more, maybe a little bit more fuzzy, or it wasn't bothering you as much, but how do you think about it now, and what was helpful, and what are you maybe still working on, or what are your thoughts on that now?
Okay. So yeah, I'm definitely still working on this a little bit. Because it really is like my main hang up for a while regarding sleep, maybe forever regarding sleep, is like a hang up I had. But how I progress. So for one thing, like I try to remember that, you know, being awake isn't harmful. That's like the number one thing, you know, there's no evidence connecting insomnia to adverse issues, adverse permanent issues with your health. That's like the number one thing to know. So I'm like, you know, even if I am awake, you know, nothing's going to happen to me besides feeling uncomfortable. Like, I'll sleep eventually. I know on this channel, you guys have even had discussions about that guy who was supposedly awake for 14 days to win a world record, but then he went to sleep and was fine. So I'm like, there's no evidence of there being danger to wakefulness. So, you know, in the worst case scenario where I'm up, like, you know, nothing's going to happen, first of all. The second thing I try to keep in mind is, I just try to, like, quantify the issue in a way that's realistic. So, you know, before I'd be like, you know, if I'm awake for 24 hours, I'm going to wait for 48 hours, I'm going to wait for 72 hours, I'm going to go crazy, I'm going to need to check into a mental hospital. You know, everything's going to spiral and go, you know, upside down for me. I'm going to have a very, very rough time. And how I've tried to deal with those kind of thoughts is to just make it, you know, like, objectively true, but not overstating it. So I'm like, you know what, if I'm awake this long, I'm going to be uncomfortable, but, like, that's it. Like, what else is there to say? Like, I'm going to be uncomfortable, but, you know, it's not harmful. You know, I've been through it before. Like, I don't like being uncomfortable, but, you know, I'm not going to make it more than it is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be uncomfortable, but if I'm uncomfortable, then I'm uncomfortable. But being uncomfortable doesn't mean I'm going to be crazy. Doesn't mean I have a neurological issue. Doesn't mean I'm sick, you know. It just means I'm, you know, not feeling great today. So.
Absolutely. Very good. Yeah, I think that's super helpful for people here. And now, I also remember, you know, there were moments where you had sort of like, or let me put it this way instead. Like, I think the pattern of working with you, Matt, was actually a very, very pretty typical pattern, meaning like the first couple of weeks, we were talking almost daily, and then it became like once every other day, and then it becomes like once a week, and then it kind of like faded out, which to me always signals that, okay, this person is kind of getting better, the struggle is sort of ending. But can you share some of the kind of like positive, like, you know, moments that where things seem to like, oh, things are getting better, and moments where you saw like, okay, things are probably on the right track. Like, share a little bit about that.
Okay, so so I started talking with you in July. In August, I just decided I wasn't taking a Seroquel anymore. So I just went off it completely. I realized that like the drug did assist me in, you know, calming my thoughts and getting me into, you know, a mind state where I could actually sleep, or I could fall asleep easier, made it less elusive. But the thing about Seroquel is, well, for one thing, it has, you know, side effects I didn't want to really experience with extended use. The other is that it didn't make me feel like happier. Like, you know, it didn't make me feel like energized taking it. Like, often the sedation would carry over into the next day. So, you know, even though I would sleep, I'd still be exhausted. In some cases, I found like after I took it, I'd be more exhausted like the next day than I could remember feeling before on nights where I hadn't slept. Right. So I was like, is this really worth it? Like, you know, okay, I'm getting a couple hours of sleep every night, but, you know, I feel even more exhausted than I did before I took any kind of medication. So I was like, you know what? I'm reading. You know, I was talking to Daniel, I was talking to my psychiatrist, I was talking to like my GP, you know, I was talking to my parents, I was talking to my friends. I was like, literally no one that I'm talking to sees this as a like a health altering, you know, serious issue that's going to really harm me. So, you know, like, am I going to believe like all these people that I trust that, you know, sleep is, you know, not something that will harm you if you don't get it as much as you might want to? Or, you know, am I going to believe like these clickbait articles? And right. Yeah, like, am I gonna believe all the people I trust? Or am I gonna believe these clickbait articles? Or am I gonna believe, you know, these people who, you know, they definitely mean the best, but they're so deep in their suffering and in their anxiety that, you know, maybe they can't see the situation rationally. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to believe the people I trust that, you know, it sucks when you can't sleep, but it's not going to harm me. And I'm going to stop taking these pills. And, you know, instead of taking like, you know, a drug when I need to calm down, instead, I'm just going to, you know, listen, you know, read a bit of Set It and Forget It, maybe write a letter to Daniel, write a letter to my counselor, watch some sleep coach videos, put on some music. You know, I have like methods that are not medication that successfully, you know, bring down my hyperarousal and let me calm down. So I don't think I need this drug anymore. And then, I was off it. I've only had one sleepless night since July. And on that night, I did take Seroquel again. But again, I realized very quickly I didn't like it. And besides that, I've been off it. So that was the big thing for me. I came off sleep medication entirely and replaced it with counseling and reading and cognitive techniques. And yeah, so that was the big one.
That's big. I think, my immediate thought becomes that it's like, you know, the what you describe as like counseling, reading, it's like, it's things that's, you know, it's empowering. Like, it's like, you know, you it's things that you kind of, you do on your own rather than delegating it to an outside thing that, you know, makes you feel dependent on it, et cetera. So I think, if sleep doesn't change so much, I can imagine it's sort of liberating. So is that the main way you feel it was a big step, or?
Yeah, there is that was that was a big one for sure, because I took back the ability to sleep from pills to myself. You know what I mean? I thought I thought before it was pills. Now, you know, I know it's myself. And actually, even before I considered myself having insomnia issues, I took melatonin like on a nightly basis. I'm like, oh, it'll put me to sleep. And then, you know, I believed it put me to sleep. So, you know, when I fell asleep, I was like, thanks, melatonin, you know, like, but I haven't taken melatonin in months. I haven't taken anything really. I've just been sleeping. So, that's been great. And I think, the other big thing was just like, you know, sometimes I still regularly have nights where I'm up pretty late, pretty close to my threshold, so to say. But usually I end up sleeping and usually I'm not that anxious. And it's still a work in progress, because I'm sure if I had, you know, two or three nights, like, I'd be bothered by it again. Yeah. But I'm just finding more strategies that are able to calm me down and just use like my own thought patterns and what I know to be true, and keeping my thoughts in the realm of truth as opposed to speculation and anxiety. These things are really, you know, making it easier for me to approach insomnia in a healthy way.
Very, very helpful. And you remind, there was something else that just came to my mind now, where I think you said something that I felt was very profound, which is something to the effect of like, I don't even know if I have insomnia anymore, or I'm just someone who's afraid of having insomnia.
Yeah, so that was coming in a period where I was sleeping really well. Like, I think I was sleeping like around 7 hours per night, but I was still always scared of it coming back. So I never, even now to an extent, like, I don't really look forward to going to bed, because I'm like, oh, if I don't go to bed, then, you know, I'm going to be uncomfortable. This is where I limit it now, you know. If I don't get some sleep, like, I'm not going to be feeling great the next day. But then I kept sleeping. So I'm like, I have this fear of something that isn't really happening. So I guess my fear is, I guess I'm anxious about becoming an insomniac again, but not enough to keep me up all night, most nights, evidently.
No, I think, thanks for sharing this. And, you know, I think it's so helpful, because in a way it's sort of like people say, I'm anxious about becoming anxious, or like, I'm scared of becoming scared. It's almost the same thing that.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, I'm scared of this problem coming back. So I have to, yeah. Yeah, but in a way that's not freeing either, right? That's still like a prison for your mind, and it still makes sleep something with more pressure than it should be.
Yes, I know, absolutely. It's, you still have a fear, but it's become, I don't know, more abstract or something. It's still something there that I haven't really figured out. I just think it's something so very profound. I think I want to speak more about it. Mm-hmm. But all right, and now. You brought up earlier like control, which, yeah, right. I talk so much about that. And do you feel like that has resonated a lot with you, that like insomnia very much comes from trying to control something and like, you know, not trying to control the path of that?
Yeah, because because the more I let go of control, like the better things became essentially. And I can start that off with, you know, like in May, when I was doing every like sleep hygiene thing I could find, you know, I was eating lots of yogurt. I was eating turkey because turkey helps you sleep. If you take like a bath, you know, 2 hours before you go to bed, then, you know, your body's going to cool down. You'll be at the perfect temperature for falling asleep. So I was doing that. Like literally I was doing so many things that I didn't care about. I didn't even really believe worked, but I'm just like, what else am I going to try? So, I'm normally like a night owl too. I start work around 9, and even in normal times, I'd be up till around like 1 or 2. Like, I'm not like an 8 o'clock sleeper, but I was like, hey, you know what? I need the most sleep times I can. If I'm going to be in bed by 9. You know, so that means around 7, I'd be having my bath, and like I was lining up everything so I could try to sleep better. Like, it was like madness. And of course you don't sleep once you do all that, cause you've built all this, you've done like everything right as the internet tells you, and then you still don't sleep. And then you think there's something really wrong with you. But then, you know, as soon as my doctor said, you know, I just sleep from 3 until 9, you know, don't do anything else really. And I was like, hey, you know what? I'm glad I can like throw all those things away that didn't do anything but make me miserable and waste my time. I'm glad, you know, that I don't have to force myself into bed at 8 when I don't want to be in bed until like 1. And then once you start like realizing that none of the things you do actually work, then you start being able to let go more and more, I think, because you're kind of like, okay, this can't be controlled. Trying to control it only makes me miserable and doesn't work. So, you know, I can keep trying to like beat my head against the wall and do things that don't work, or I can just enjoy myself and befriend wakefulness as much as I can. And the reality for me is, like, if I stay up all night watching TV and enjoying myself, like, you know, I might not feel great the next day, but whatever. But the alternative is that, you know, I roll around in bed for 8 hours, still don't sleep, and then feel bad. So it's like, which one of those am I going to pick, right? So it was really just about throwing away all the sleep efforts, doing things I enjoy instead, doing my best to engage with hobbies, even when I wasn't feeling great, just like putting on some shows I wanted to watch, like playing some games, talking to friends, doing things I wanted to do. And the more you move away from wanting to control this and I can just let go, the more time you have to enjoy yourself, really. So that was pretty much it. I'm like, I'm just going to enjoy myself every night. If I don't sleep, you know, I'm not going to be happy about it, but I'll deal with it when it comes. But, you know, enjoying myself is much better than doing sleep efforts, which accomplish nothing, you know, so.
Absolutely. And, you know, good, very good. I had my mind was in one direction, now it went in kind of another direction here, but I think, you know, let's go here to the place where I believe this was now probably 2 or 3 months ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I basically got a message from you saying, like, I think I'm ready, Daniel. I think I'm ready to graduate. What were things like then, and what made you think, you know, you were ready, and you know, how things been going since then?
Okay, so what made me feel I was ready was because I internalized a lot of, I feel like I internalized a lot of the knowledge, and I would write to you and I would kind of know like in advance what you would say back, or I would watch your videos and I'd be like, okay, I pretty much know what Daniel's going to say to this person, or, you know, I pretty much know. And I was on board with all of it. So it was like, you know, like I can almost predict what Daniel's going to say to this. So when it comes to that point, I'm like, I've internalized its teaching so deeply. You know, I think I can, for a large part of it, like self-coach myself. And then, yeah, since I left, like I've been sleeping better. Like I do have rough nights. Like this last night I had wasn't particularly great. But in general, I keep my thoughts grounded. I realize I can't control it. I can't control sleep. I keep my thoughts grounded. And I just feel like I know you're teaching so well, you know, when I start thinking of myself about my anxiety, I'm like, you know what, I know exactly like what like the natural response to this is. And then to the best of my ability, I detach myself from the issue and, you know, I just try to get like a little bit of rest and then get on with my day after. So,
and you know, I think to a lot of people that are new to the channel or like new clients or things like that, you know, I struggle myself with like calling these videos, these interviews or the playlists I have like success stories. But I think it's important to, I call it that because I want people to see that, you know, things can get better for you, that quote unquote is success. But to a lot of people early on in the journey, like success is like sleeping a certain amount every night, where I always try to emphasize that I think success to me is really like when you don't struggle, when you're not trying so hard, and when you're kind of that freedom to do other things in life, et cetera. Like, can you speak to that?
Yeah. So I think, I don't think success with insomnia is that, oh, I'm sleeping 8 hours every night reliably. For me, success with insomnia is that you've made peace with your sleep schedule and you're able to enjoy your life and you're able to, you know, get the rest you need, but it doesn't take up more focus than it needs to. And, you know, like a lot of people, when they come to this channel, they're not enjoying life because of their issues. So, for me, a success story would be like, yes, you know, okay, I'm not perfect, but I'm enjoying my life again. I am not putting undue pressure on myself. I've begun to let go. And, you know, I can see all the things in life that can be enjoyed regardless of how I sleep.
Exactly. And do you, like, on the path towards, like, not, you know, enjoying life, et cetera, like, where do you find that you are now?
I think for me, something I accepted is, you know, until this pandemic is more under control, until we have more of our lives back, I'm not going to be perfect. You know, like a lot of the things I enjoy, like going to see movies with friends, going out for drinks with friends, you know, meeting people on the weekend, you know, going out to restaurants, you know, like so many of our things right now are limited. And until life comes back to be more normal, I don't expect to, you know, be, you know, I don't expect to be as happy as I was. I don't expect to be back to where I was, right? Because I don't think anyone is as happy as they once were. Or at least I don't think lots of people are as happy as they once were. And, you know, we all want our normal lives back. And even for me, having like a more, the more routine, like schedule that comes with just like having places to be and things to do, I think that will help me a lot. That said, you know, when this all started, I wasn't engaging with my hobbies. I wasn't engaging with my friends. I was closing myself off. But now, you know, I'm talking to my friends all the time. I'm finding interest in my hobbies again. I'm really starting to enjoy like a lot of things again that I wasn't enjoying before. So, I'm back on the path of getting better.
That's fantastic to hear. And like in such a, you know, such a good point about like for all of us, myself included, I miss so much from like traveling and going out and all that stuff. But like, you know, knowing like just being in that place where you see like, I know that when things get to back to normal, I can enjoy more. That's
exactly great. Yeah. I know once things get back to normal, I think not necessarily all of these issues I've been having, but I think many of them I'm going to be able to put behind me. So.
Wow, that was great. I think, you know, just like from talking to you, like if I would pick like, you know, my kind of like the golden nugget from talking with Matt here would be like what you talked about, like the control and how you saw like lingo control, maybe it was helpful. But in your words, if you like somebody was in your spot, like way back, somebody was in your spot, who would pick like kind of like what you would really, one thing that you really want to tell them, what would you pick?
I would honestly pick to try and read Set It and Forget It if you can, because I think for a lot of people, even though the channel is amazing, there's a lot of content to go through, I think Set It and Forget It is very, it strikes the heart of the issue very quickly. It's a very easy read. I think if you're able to get a copy of this book, you can internalize so much of the teachings very quickly. And if you're like me, like the book will just speak to you, and you'll start to see that there's a there's a very real way to get better, and there's really nothing wrong with you. So,
well said. Okay, Matt, it was super, super nice talking to you.
Yeah, for sure. It was fantastic talking to you. And, you know, I'm not much of a commenter, but I do keep up on all the new videos. So I'm watching.
I'm super glad to know that you're out there. So, yeah, have a really happy 2021, Matt, and we'll stay in touch.
For sure. Happy New Year. Take care.